Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the what we call the K-2 assessments, early literacy mathematics benchmark assessments by MDE. Welcome to come. My name is Julie Murphy, and I work at the state, and I actually, this is my big project. We have Kyle Ward.
Kyle Ward, I'm a math assessment consultant.
And I'm Nikki Mosser. I'm an ELA consultant.
Whoops. Sorry.
And Tim?
Oh, yeah, Tim. I want to meet administration and reporting.
We'll have your Tim.
So they're test development, but like they work on all the reporting, and there's a section of reporting in this. So
we often have many a meeting where we want to talk about development, and then 60-80% of the questions are about reporting, so we thought we'd bring Tim along today and save us.
Okay, so I thought I'd start with just the overall picture of what assessment looks like in Michigan. So we start with the K-2s, which is kindly called ELMBA, thanks to Tim. And that's the early literacy. And then we have the M-STEP, which goes from 3 to grade 7. And in grade 8, they're taking the, started last year, they now take the PSAT. And then in the Michigan Merit Exam would be the SAT, and then there's a science and a social studies portion, and we still have the ACT work keys. For alternate assessments for students with significant cognitive impairments, those we have MyAccess, and then we have WIDA for English language learners. So back in, I think it was about 2013, the legislators passed that they thought that the K to 2 should have an assessment. So Michigan went to work trying to figure out what that assessment would look like. So we had people from MSU and Notre Dame. They came together with MDE, and we worked to examine the content standards and to determine what important standards should be assessed, and understanding that these are very young children, kindergarten to second grade, what would be the best design for that? So we held focus groups with teachers, researchers, to look at those standards, to write test items to them, and to develop the protocol, in which we had COG laboratories. So we actually went into the classrooms, gave out some questions to these students, and to see how they did. Kyle, were you part of the COG labs?
Part of it, yes. I say when the kindergartens are first brought in, they're holding the mouse up in the air and they're turning, what is this? So we really learned then that we want the technology not to get in the way of the construct.
So we conducted those COG labs, and then we also used universal design for learning to incorporate throughout the test. So Michigan educators came in, and we had them to write items, to review items, and then we had pilot tests and a field test. Those pilots and field tests were in the spring of 14, the fall of 14, and the spring of 16. You notice that 15 is missing? That's because we were starting the end step, and we were a little busy that year. So then we had an implementation starting in the fall of 16 and the spring of 16 for K and 2. And we did not do kindergarten in the fall. And the reason was we thought that it would just be too much within the first couple of weeks of school for kindergartners. Because of the third grade reading law, that changed. Did I skip a slide? That we decided to use the assessment to also be in line with the read by grade 3 law. So in the fall of we added ELA and math, and also a fall and a spring for kindergarten. That's you.
Sorry. So after the read by grade 3 law for kindergarten, grades 1 and 2, we have the ELA and the math benchmark assessments, and they're administered 3 times a year. They offer color graphics and larger font size. There's no scrolling in our K-2s. Scrolling begins in the third grade. They look and feel like a computer game. So students are pretty familiar with how to use them and maneuver their way through. There are audio supports, human voice for kindergarten and first grade, and then text-to-speech for second grade. And they're aligned to the third grade M-STEP. And they offer item type, different item types, which we'll go through in just a little bit, a rigor and text-to-speech. These are some of the different types of items, and we'll kind of get into those a little bit later on in our presentation. Matching, tables, drag and drop, text, drag and drop, hotspot, hot text, order, choice, and drop down. We've received a lot of positive feedback from teachers and from students. They like the kind of game aspect. In our scores and our data reviews indicate that students are successful, and we continue to develop new items, new types, new passages, and these are all reviewed by Michigan teachers, and we can access these skills through the use of Chromebooks, iPads, desktops, and laptops. So for ELA, we are looking at reading, writing, and language, using informational, narrative, and foundations for reading. For writing, narrative, informational, and opinion. And for language, conventions, and vocabulary.
Well, I have to talk now? What? Oh, mathematics, we have counting and cardinality, just for K, and then operations, algebraic thinking, number and operation base 10, measurement and data, and geometry. We also claim to have the cutest slide here. I mean, come on.
It's K2.
It's K2, right. I didn't mean exclusive to math.
So for the ELA blueprint, I wanted to point out a couple of things on this slide. The reading literacy text, or literary text, here's kindergarten, grade 1, grade 2, and then the informational text, followed by the foundational skills. As you can see, this number is higher here, which would make sense because informational skills and foundational skills are most important at that grade level. And then you can see it kind of declines the older that they get. And then writing and language, you can see how those numbers increase with the grade.
For math, the blueprint is, again, no cardinality at K. Let's see. Operation base 10, you can see, go up in the later grades, the older students, the old-timers, first and second graders. And there you have it. Geometry is pretty consistent. And there we go. Window.
So our spring testing window was early April through late May, will be through late May. There are two test tickets for this session. Breaks can be provided, and here are the breakdown as far as estimated times for kindergarten, grade 1, and grade 2.
Okay, get involved. How many people are involved in any of the state committees, item writing, bias?
Have you ever come to one of our writing items or reviewing items?
No.
Someone do that?
Yeah.
Great.
Good. We provide a stipend or sketches, and if you live more than 50 miles, we'll put you up the night before. It's a catered lunch. Every step of the way, especially in K2, there are Michigan educators involved. So, you want to talk about context?
Yes. So, we're going to blatantly give you a commercial at the end of this just to see if anybody wants to come in and be part of these committees. It's really important that educators throughout the state come in and help us out with creating them.
If you go to a national conference, they, what? You do all this yourself? Why don't you just buy something? That's what, off the shelf, that's what we do.
And if you don't know, all of this is free to you, so at no cost. So this is one of the item types. This is probably the item type that students have the most difficulty with, and it's a match. They're supposed to connect items on the left, right here, the words, with whatever pictures are on the right. And here's our language standard to sort common objects into categories, shapes or foods, to gain a sense of the concepts and that the categories represent. So the student will have to click on a word and then click on the picture that matches with the word. A line will form in between, and if they want to take that line off, they made a mistake in their choice, they can go up to the top where the little eraser is and erase it. So making sure that you are going over how these items, how the technology works with these items would be helpful with your students. And we have those online training tools, so make sure you're taking a peek at those and introducing them to your students.
As well as the videos.
This is probably one of the most difficult because it's not intuitive for a student to click on one side and then go over and click on the other side. So we're not using as many of these anymore, but if you do the online training, you really get your students to understand how to do that.
And they're only in K-1, we're going with a match table for grade 2 to make it similar to the grade 3. So here's match table for mathematics. You just, pretty intuitive, just click in the box, and if you click it twice, it disappears. It has your eraser. These are set up where some of the M-STEP stuff, the earlier stuff, as I mentioned yesterday, they'll let you fill out everything, true and false. These are mutually exclusive. So if you pick this one, and then this one, and then you pick this one disappears. So
you can only pick
single select, we call it. Okay.
This is an example of a graphic drag and drop. The student is supposed to move the sentence onto the blank line. So the sentence choices will be down below. They would read the first sentence and then decide from there which of the three would then go up here. This is kind of a nice format for students because they can see the sentence in context rather than if it were a multiple choice, they would have to read that and then read the three choices. So by having that text moved up to the line, they can see it all together and read it all together. And then here's the writing standard. Use a combination of drawing, dictating, and writing to compose opinion pieces in which they state an opinion or preference about the topic.
And we did say earlier that these are the kindergarten and first grade items are all human voice audio, so that they actually hear these read to them. And then in grade 2, making it similar to grade 3 assessment, we have text-to-speech where those as a designated support. Oops.
Don't pass up the bears. All right, this is drag and drop. There are two basic kinds of drag and drop, one where the numbers regenerate and one where they don't. Yes, it has to regenerate because I'm going to need two twice, right? But oftentimes, if it maybe helps students a little bit not to regenerate, if they are mutually exclusive, then it wouldn't regenerate. That's all determined by our item writer.
So when he says regenerate, it means that the student would take the two and put it up there. But because there's another two, you need to be able to do that again. So the two would regenerate.
Right.
Oh, why is this black?
So this is one that you'd absolutely regenerate. You drag the base 10 blocks over there. And as another, this would be I bet this one would not regenerate. You just drag the, say, 5 and 2, right? I did my measuring correct. Okay.
So this is an example of a hot text. The student is to choose a correct sentence by clicking or by choosing. So they can click on the top one. It will highlight in yellow, bottom, whatever. Whichever one is highlighted in yellow, that's their choice. If they make a mistake, there's the little eraser so that they can erase their answer and choose another. And the language standard is here. Use singular and plural nouns with matching verbs in basic sentences.
And if you hit the question mark, it'll show you the directions. This is a hot spot. There are two kinds of hot spots, one where it changes color, another where a box surrounds it. I'm going to say this one would have the box around it. And he's looking for the cone. So in this case, it's just going to allow you to choose one. So if I clicked on the cone, oh, that's not it. And I clicked on the prism, it would deselect the cone. Other times, when you're looking for more than one, you can actually select everything. It's very much dependent on the item. This is one of our cutest items.
Did you say so yourself?
If I say so myself. So you drag the carrots, so it would regenerate from here. And then this is the surround style hotspot. Click the number of carrots to the garden. Now this brings up a good point. This is the workspace, unscored, and this is the part that counts. First go around, maybe in the first 2 years, you would get a message at the end. A lot of kids are smart. If you have a hop, frogs, seven frogs, two frogs hop in the pond, how many left? Well, I don't need to do that. Move the frogs, I know that's five. And you click five, it gets to the summary page. Hey, didn't do this item. And what are you going to do this item? And so now it doesn't say that. If you just hit the answer and then leave the workspace blank, you won't get that answer that in the summary page that says you didn't complete the item.
This is an example of order. And the student is to move the sentences into the correct order. So all of these items are set up. If there is a text, the text will appear on this side, and then the question will appear over here. So the prompt is on the top, and then here are the four choices. The student can select one of the choices and then move them up and down until they find the correct order that makes sense to them. This is also kind of nice as compared to a multiple choice item because the student can see the text in order, in context, and they're not having to choose something out of order. The standard is use information gained from the illustration in words in a print or digital text to demonstrate understanding of its character, setting, or plot.
And you can see that because there's no scrolling in the K2s, that you see a page turn to turn the page. So then it may be two pages, or this one has three pages. So you go on to the next page, you go on to the next page. And every time you go to that page, it'll continue to read the item. So if the student got confused and wanted to look back in the story to find out what the order was, they could just turn the pages back to see the order.
Here's an example of choice. The student is to choose the words to answer the question. So again, the text is on this side, and then what they are to do is on the opposite side. The student can go back or turn the page, similar to what Julie said. And the standard for this particular item is ask and answer such questions as who, what, where, when, why, and how to demonstrate understanding of key details in a text. And this one is probably, choose the words and most similarly aligned to what a multiple choice would be.
Yes, and grade two is the only ones where we have choice, so that they get ready to see the third grade M step. There's choice on the third grade M step, so we put it on the second grade so they can see it.
So here's math choice, same thing. It's mutually exclusive like the multiple choice. If you click 16 and then you know I want 8, that'll deselect the 16.
Okay, so this is where you'd find these. If you were using these with your students, you would want to go on the benchmark assessments and click on the online tools training. And this doesn't teach them anything about the items on the test, but it gives them a familiarity with the kinds of items. This is the site that you'd click on. You need to be in a Chrome browser for this to work. If you're in Internet Explorer or anything else, it doesn't work well. So you just go and choose the online tools training under the Michigan Early Literacy and Benchmark. And then there's also a tutorial at the bottom. at the bottom of the page here where it says DRC Insight Online Tutorials. That is really important. And a lot of people don't realize that we have that or they've never done it. So not only are the online tools important to use with these little students, but it's also important to see the tutorial because it leads you through the whole thing and how the whole test is set up.
And it's done with a little girl who does a very, very good job. She's very enthusiastic. We had some updates, some new item types, and we couldn't find her, and it was a couple years later, and they ended up finding her.
Finding her to do the same
She does a very good
tutorial.
Job.
And then we have reports, Tim.
So, just out of curiosity, everybody's got to take some kind of interim assessment at these grade levels, and there's a list that MBE provides of approved assessments. Does anybody use this one that's in here right now? A lot of people I know use NWEA, probably. I see a lot of heads shaking. Okay. All right. So we do reporting on this. Like they said, you know, this is, first of all, it's aligned Michigan standards. It's written by Michigan teachers. And one of the nice things, it's using the same technology that they're going to use going forward when they move into the MSTAT. Now, we do some reporting out on this, and the reports are available. We say 48 hours, but once they complete, there's two parts of the test. When I've been seeing this, they usually do both parts that same day. Like they'll take both parts of the ELA. I see most of the kids, when they're in there, about 10 minutes on a part, they take a little break, they come back, they'll do it. Next part. So the day after, then you've got the results back on this. Now there's with the individual level reports. If it's aggregate level, that isn't done until after the testing, obviously. So some of the individual level reports, says 48, they're usually there within 24 hours, are the individual student reports. It just will break down, like you saw, each of the domains and the number of points, and we report out, you know, how they did in each of those domains, both in ELA and math. You also get a roster, so, you know, you have a roster of kids. You can see the roster of kids and the points they earned in each of those. You can sort it by the different domains and by the total, you know, so a teacher could have that roster and see how their class has done, you know, 24 hours after they completed that. The demographic report, similar to what you may see with the MSTEP, broken down by the demographic subgroups and how they perform, that's aggregated after the test window closes, usually about a week or two after that is done. And then there's also a fall, I'll call it a change report now because we also do this in the winter, you know, where they were at the beginning to where they are now, like how much change has occurred. You know, if they take it fall, winter, or fall, winter, and spring, we show the change in each of those periods then. There's also domain analysis, like each of those categories, like cardinality, there's subgroups, and that domain will break it down, show how they perform within those subgroups as well in fall, winter, and spring. So you can see, you know, there's growth along the way there. And then something that is new that's being developed is a trend report that will show their history. Like if they took this in kindergarten, fall, winter, and spring, then they take it again in first grade, fall, winter, spring. So a second grader in the spring, you'd see their history. We're going to hopefully turn that on in the spring here. It would show online of their previous scores then. So you could see a three-year trend of how they've done on this over time.
When does this trend report start?
Going to be turned on. It's in development right now. Like we're testing it with some of the stuff right now. It's going to come on this spring for those that have taken it. You know, if somebody takes the test just for the first time, there wouldn't be a trend. You just have one dot, but if you've taken it nine times, it'll show your history over those 3 years fall, winter, and spring with K-1 and 2.
This is just like, this is the blueprint that has how many on.
Yeah, we can report out. Right now, just the way it's reported out, everything is at this time just raw scores. It's not scaled, but in this spring, they're working with the test vendor. There's some
trying to get a vertical.
Off item grade. So we're going to start to put that on a vertical scale, so it has a little more meaning to it than just the raw score.
Now the tests themselves are a little longer because the field test values. These values they count.
Yeah, so the test is longer than what's up here.
30, 40, and 42 per minute.
Like I said, I've been out in the field and watched some of it, the kids taking these, and they're pretty quick. I mean, they'll get through there, you know, in 10 to 20 minutes in a part. So you can really do a content area and okay, easily.
Any discussion about alternate assessment for the
4.1%
computation
for this?
For K-1, 2.
You know, that compared to our other assessments, and this is just a drop because it's not required and allowed you to use other products, this gets the least amount of attention of any of our assessments. And there's been talk, but as far as like accessibility and support, like there aren't as many of those things on this assessment.
Because you can use something else.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I have a question about the blueprint, so I'm speaking specifically to Matt. Your blueprint reports out exactly aligned with the domains of our standards. Is there a reason that we don't get that for MSTEP? It reports out a blueprint by claim, but not by standard domains.
Because there's so many standards, it would be.
But the same, they're the same domains.
The domains are the same, but the standards in between each of those ones. Like as you see the next report, you'll see how it's broken out in K2s.
What's that?
But what I'm saying is, why couldn't we have this for? Why don't we have this? If you want them to align, why don't you have a blueprint like this for that? That just tells us how many items are algebraic operations and algebraic thinking on third grade MSTEP, and how many are numbers in base 10 or numbers in operations and fractions, that kind of thing.
We do have a blueprint that tells a range of numbers within each category.
From the, she's asking by domain, we get that is by claim.
Right.
Yeah, it's only by claim.
I think part of the reason is because that's a cap, and it would be very sophisticated because each student is going to be getting.
Everybody's getting a different question.
But we still don't have a range. I don't mean, but okay. It would be more helpful to have that as opposed to the claims. But, I mean, because ultimately, realistically, we'd love to be able to teach all of the content before the beginning of April, where some students have to start to teach each other to test. But it just doesn't happen, right?
Yeah.
So it would help to know for things like pacing what content is most heavily tested, right? Like which domains, so that we can make sure we've hit those domains before the testing dates for some of our grades.
Because we do release a blueprint that shows the domains. So, in fact, we did it yesterday. We showed.
Well, I'll look through that when I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing. But the only blueprint I've seen that goes out by domain is actually something from Smarter Balanced.
No, why don't we talk afterwards?
Okay.
I can show
that'd
you.
Be great.
Before we
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think I've seen that posted on the webpage because, like, when I test the MSTEP reports, like, there's a rate, like, hey, depending on whether that CAT test, there's a pool of hundreds of items that could end up.
Right.
So, you know, it might be between 10 and 15. Points, but that's out there somewhere.
Yeah,
there
yeah, we have it on the slideshow we did yesterday.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Okay.
But here's that just the individual student report for the literacy. You see the fall and the winter, the difference, and you know there's some symbols there. If they went up, down, or stayed the same, we got to put all points on both sections. And then the spring that would go in too, so you'd see you know, all three assessments. It just adds on every time they take another season of that. All right.
Oops, the rest of it.
And then that just goes down to a little deeper in the domains, and there's some of the sub.
This goes back to the assessment categories.
Right, no, I know we can get that because of the adaptiveness of the website.
Right. And then the next one is the student, the student roster there, just where you get everybody on and by your domains across the top. And those domains, the subtotals, those are sortable, so you can put from high to low. Also, none of the total, those columns are, you know, sortable from high to low. You can print those. These all have CSV files, so you can export that information if you want to build some additional reports as well.
And as you know, in the fall, the students haven't been exposed to the content standard, so you were expecting them to be very low. By the winter, you're expecting them to have mastered several of these. And then this report can help the teacher know. She can put them in order and say, okay, I really need to work on geometry, or I really need to work on vocabulary within each one.
And there's just the demographic report. It also shows it by, it compares the, this is the school demographic report, but it also compares the school to the district and what the state is done. And then if you highlight, like here, the person is selected female, and it'll compare the subgroup, you know, across those different entities that as well. All
right. And this one goes from fall to winter change, and if it were spring, you would see, do you see all three? Fall, winter?
No, we just do two at a time. So you could see fall to winter to spring, or you could compare. A lot of people maybe don't take the winter. You could compare the fall to spring. So it'll compare just two of the test cycles, show the amount, you know, people that have an increase in the scores and by the subgroup. And then there's the domain analysis. It shows, you know, how many points they earn. This is sorted to the content area total, but you can do it by each of those domains. It would generate, show you the report, and those are sortable. The fall, winter, and spring are, when you click, it sorts those high to low, and you can see, you know, how they perform in those groups. And then here's just an example of that trend report that we're hoping to display. The black dots are the student scores in, you know, fall and spring, or fall and spring in that first one, because it was just 2 years. Then fall, winter, spring, and then fall, winter to date, you see. And then there's also a trend line with the district and the state, which then you can suppress the state and school if you want to just get that with a student view, you know, selecting those highs, but you'll see that trend over time then for each of the students.
And these reports can be used for parent conferences. You can show them where they were, where over a longer period of time.
Now, we'd like you to take both content areas all three times, but you can just do one content area, you can just do one grade. You're not committed to.
Yeah, well, you have some schools that use only the math, some that only use the ELA, some that do both.
And
some
it
that
is
only
on
use
the,
it for one of their grades.
It is on the list for the third grade reading law that this, you can use this, and that has to be done three times a year. So that's why we now have it three times a year for everything. So, starting at the third grade reading law, MDE was charged with coming up with three different kinds of assessments: a screener, a diagnostic, and a formative assessment. And if you listen to some of the other talks this morning, you hear about that balanced assessment system. We also have an early literacy coaching model, which has also helped. And the initial list is for kindergarten
1, 2, and 3. We can use this assessment in kindergarten 1 and 2, but in grade 3 you would need to use a different assessment. And then the extensive assessments, after the student is given that initial, then you, and it's got to be within the first 30 days of school, and it has to be done 3 times a year. So after you find out that you have, may have some students that are showing a deficiency, then you can give them an extensive assessment, and there's a list of extensive assessments that you can choose from. Oops. So we also have a lot of manuals. Tim's works on the manuals and the test directions. Other resources, we have the supports and accommodations. And any other information on the K2 benchmark, you can go to the web page. Any questions?
The post-lunch crowd is always the quietest.
No questions? Well, we do have, want you to be involved, Kyle.
Oh, there is our flagrant commercial. Come be involved. Every step of the way, again, Michigan teachers write the item. Now you can't review an item that you wrote, but then we have a committee for bias and sensitivity, and then we have a content committee come in, and then we field test the item, then we get data back in the items, and then we have a data review of bias and a data review of the content, and then
This is the whole process. So in ELA, we actually write the context, and it's a not only a Michigan writer, but a published author that writes the context for us. And then those go to bias and sensitivity committees, and then they go to a content committee, and we will redo the item. We will talk it over. We have an in-house comp team, that composition team, that actually draws the pictures, that makes all the changes for us, and then it'll go to, after that context, then we write items to that context. And then we review those items for bias and sensitivity, and then finally give them a field test. And that's why when Kyle was saying that the blueprint are the items that count, but the field test items are embedded in there, and you don't know which ones are field test items. Student isn't aware of it, and they come back, and then we look at the data from those. We find out whether there's any bias and sensitivity, or also whether there were really. So it also depends on when you're taking the assessment. In the fall, the information is going to be really low because students haven't been exposed to those standards yet. But by the spring, you really can tell which is a good item and which item really needs to be rewritten. And the bias and sensitivity committee help us do that. And then
there's training in the morning, and there's a catered lunch. And
breakfast,
the coffee. It's a good half hour in between the catered lunch and the snack. So,
what was the date again? When is this?
This is throughout the year.
Yes.
Oh, so it's different dates.
Yeah.
Different
dates. So you go to that site, yeah, and you sign up, and which committee you're interested in, and tell you your grade level and your content area.
There's two other committees that we have. One's called standard setting, is when we review the whole assessment and decide whether or not, where is the benchmark, where is that proficiency score, and the other one is range finding. And range finding is where we get teachers together. We just did a field test for passage-based writing for the 3 to 8, and those teachers will come in and talk about those items and how will they be scored. Is it a 1, is it a 4, where the score lines are.
And is it always the same location?
Well, that's a good question.
Typically,
right now our vendor is DRC, and they have a satellite office on.
Where's that at?
DRC is out of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm. However, we meet in
Lansing.
In East Lansing.
Got it. They have a satellite office on Lake Lansing Road in Lansing.
Got it.
So they've been our development contractor for several years now.
And if you come for more than 50 miles, if your trip is more than 50 miles, they will put you up in a hotel and pay for your dinners. And so,
and of course, mileage when you drive.
Your mileage. Yeah.
And some of our committees work during the summer, and some of them work during the school year.
Yeah.
So it's just dependent upon which committee and which works into your schedule.
I have some MSTEP folks. Well, there were, before the MSTEP, 20, 22-year veterans on these committees. And the teachers really enjoy these committees, and they see how much say they have in the
developing the tests.
And so the committee kind of varies, like on what you can do, kind of.
The committee, yeah.
And it, well, we all might tell you something.
I would start out with an item review committee. So you, somebody has already written the item, and you want to review that item. Bias is easier than content, and they you would, you know, talk to the other. The way it works is you have a facilitator, and they'll show you several items, and you make your comments, and then they come back, and you talk it over as a group, and you say, you might say, you know, this doesn't align to the standard. You know, what standard would it align to? So you're looking over the items, and then if you really enjoy it so much, you would want to do some item writing, which is, and you get paid a stipend or sketches. So it's really, this is, if you take a picture of it, this will bring you right to the sign-up page. It is, it'll, and then you just fill out the whole thing. But whatever your level of expertise is, like, you don't want to sign up for science, social studies, math.
Some people did that thinking that increased their odds, and then we find out that they have no social studies experience, and so that's not.
So you want, you want to do, and My Access, if you have that, experience in My Access, you can fill that all out.
And on these bias and sensitivity committees, like, you have someone who's an ELL expert, visually impaired, special population, so.
And then these people come from all over Michigan, so it's not just one region that's represented. We have people who come from the UP, kind of all over. So we try and get a range of different areas, rural,
So here's our contact information, and Kyle's, and there's a call center.
Well, I'm not last this time, Tim, you're last. I teased Julie that I was getting last billing, and she makes the slide, so.
So if you have any questions, feel free to contact any of us, and we'll get you the answers. But think about coming in, and, you know, some committees are only one day. A bias committee may only be for one day. And it's not only for K-2s, or it's also for MSTEP, because we write all our own items that get field tested for MSTEP also.
And also My Access.
And My Access. Any questions? So the other thing is the funding, the grant money that used to be for NWEA or whatever you wanted to use is no longer available. And if your districts are want something that's inexpensive and is inexpensive, it's free, and it aligns to our standards, it gets you ready for the third grade, this is a perfect opportunity to use our assessment. I know most districts want to use the same thing that they use for the upper grades. And, you know, that's their prerogative, but this one is just it's a very quick test. How long would you say it takes to, we say half an hour for each part, but they finish them up in maybe 15, 20 minutes. So.
Yes.
Does rostering work the same way you do MSTEP and BAA?
Yes, you have to pre-ID in the fall.
So same process.
It's the same process. And once, if you take it in the fall, we automatically pre-ID you for the winter and the spring.
Okay.
So the only, you would just have to add any students making the move.
Make it simple.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No more questions. A little more time.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Can you go back to the slide with the QR code? Sorry.
Right. Sure.
Do you have any of those cards, Julie?
I do. I can give you a...
Julie even has some cards. You can take a card with you.
Yeah. I'd be interested. I would totally do it.
Come along.
And
it's
also,
great fun.
Like
I
said, your
please, please.
You also have the benefit of getting to tell your administrators that you know the latest of what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on the, if you haven't been to that site, the online tool training and the tutorials.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julie, there's another.
I met a
girl.
Yeah. Your commercial works.
Yay!
Yeah, you know, it's like, because I left there on the
Institute. Originally, in 2013, when it was a tech preschool, it came up in 2018.
So
let's just change. Change the mind.
Yeah,
they start saying, but we're using this, and we only want to use this.
changed an awful lot.
So, so in 2017, what came down was you can take a benchmark assessment, any benchmark assessment, as long as it's not only our criteria, but our definition of a benchmark assessment. So you can take other benchmark assessments and also pass the BMI for the third grade Roy, you need to take something on that list. So is it mandatory? I'll give you exactly the word for legislative. You should take your benchmark assessment.
Yes, that's what I said. My youngest son is a senior biologist.
Are they given a percentile? Right now, it doesn't go to this level, but it does tell you the domains and how many are in each domain.
Just making that scalable.
They're all the same, you know, like in NWA, so just trying to, like, the claims
right.
are full
and
of all
like
domains.
I said, we're trying to just...
That's why I said I've seen it by claims. I've seen the blueprint by claims. But the claims are not specific to domains. The domains are... All of the domains are in every claim.
Yeah, well, in the reading...
So she's interested in that. Okay. And so then that shows, you know, as I'm selling it, and it goes with the cutoff. Nice to meet you. Yeah. So how do I... Well, that's the LOX. So I'm just wondering, do you know what the cutoff is for, like, this task for IRF? No, so you know, what the thing is, every single standard, every single Michigan state standard is included in a claim under multiple targets, right? Each target is tied to a set of standards within one domain. But we don't get any more specific information than you're going to get 19 to 20 questions on absolutely all of the content. And you have no idea.
Because math is different than ELA.
Your chances of being proficient on grade 3 MSTEP are
That's what NWA does.
Yeah, yeah. So see, that's what...
Because these aren't by the claim level.
Now, like,
do you,
take
it's not by the domain. So anything could be in that concept
of
procedure.
Right.
Yes, but if you can go to the crosswalk,
because that's what people want to know.
Do I have to give you a little more?
I know the crosswalk document uses which standards go with which targets, but I don't get any target information here. I only get
tell
claim level information.
But we could in theory do NWEA and do this.
You could.
Was it before that? Just to get like a second.
I was only here for all of that.
For, you know, like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like they said, you know, I think one of the selling points is this, you know, side view is that.
So what I'm saying is this is Kyle. This entire page is claim one.
Right, and these are the
that has all of these targets that are aligned to all of these standards.
Yes.
But all I know is that there will be 19 to 20 questions on this.
Yes.
That's as specific as it gets.
Yes.
We serve a mostly at-risk population. It takes longer to teach mm-hmm. kids, right, to the depth of rigor that they need to. And so it's really a struggle to know how to pace things out based on a target that's a blind target to us. Like, we don't know. These are all of the standards for that entire grade level.
Right.
We have absolutely no idea where. And I can follow the Smarter Balance. If it follows the Smarter Balance map, they're a little more specific. If it still is following that from, I know we originally got the bank from them, right? And then you've been working on Michigan written items, but I assume you're still using those formats.
We're still using, yeah.
But I don't know if the map still looks like that. And I know it's adaptive, so that you can't.
On the Smarter Balance site for Michigan, I would look in there.
Okay.
In that link.
I don't know if I've seen a link. I've seen
their difference. It's because it's CAT. So not all students will get three from this. And two
I know, but if you can have a range, like if you have some idea, like for instance, I mean, there's a lot of research out there that identifies like Achieve the Core, and those have identified what's the major work of the grade level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we
like
put
the
our
standards.
We put our emphasis in those areas, right?
Yeah.
But we don't know if that's going to end up matching.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's where our focus is early on and where we do the bulk of our work and you know, with students.
Yeah.
But we don't know what that's going to translate to, because all we get back is triangles and circles that don't, by target, that don't tell me. And that's relative to how other kids did, whether our kids did that well or not. And mostly what we get back are a report full of circles.
I think we're doing away with all of those circles and triangles, actually. I just heard in a reporting.
And I just, when I compare it to going to the PSAT and how detailed the information is that you get back from that, I wonder why there's such a misalignment between the detail you get back from MSTEP and
PSAT.
I'm
going to say that it's because it's a CAT, and we can't give you an idea that all students are going to have three from this category and five from this category. We know that the overall domain, how many they're going to be.
But it's never going to, the number of questions on the test is never going to be more than a certain range, isn't it?
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so you would probably know if there's an area, if a certain target is tested more than other targets. Like if there's a larger group of questions,
mm-hmm.
just like you're telling us that there's a larger group of questions in first grade coming from operations and algebraic thinking than there is from
here.
Geometry.
Right.
Well, that's ELA. But.
Right. So I'm just passing along because it's kind of an area of frustration for us when
you're trying to figure.
When we're trying to help our teachers know, you know, what can I do with children from now until test time? It's gonna, you know, from our curriculum, what's we're at. What's the content that's
the
gonna
bang for your buck?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not
the
like
power
we're not gonna stop
to
teaching
hit.
After
right.
the test is done, but there's
right.
gonna be things, like it or not, that there's almost a whole marking period for
yes.
some kids
afterwards.
That are
they
still being taught that they haven't had yet.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, when you're teaching a mostly at-risk population, it's taking them longer
Some of the standards should be spiral review in addition to what they've learned in prior years too. So
right, they're
have
built
been
to
exposed
they're
to
built
that.
To apply and extend.
Yes.
I get the structure of the standards, but it's a pretty rigorous test.
So
it would just be helpful to have more detail, or even the feedback later, like so we could identify areas that we clearly are weak on, because we just can't tell. I get a report back with circles that tells me every single target is, you know, might be an area of indicated need. So anyway.
And this is just one assessment. I mean, you know too from your teaching and from other things that you're doing in your classroom what areas your
students. Oh, absolutely. But
yeah.
you also know at what level the accountability to a district to districts that are struggling, you know, have struggling students, how
right.
heavy that is.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the pressure that we get from the state, which then gives the pressure from our top administrators are putting on teachers to do a better job of preparing students. You know, and the best message that I truly believe in is teach the standards. Teach
right.
the standards.
Yes, yes.
But ultimately, there are standards that are going
more important.
Yes. They're getting them more algebra ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are identified as the major work are the path toward algebra readiness. So we're just trying to help
hit
make
the target.
It.
Yep.
We're trying to hit the target. And when they get information from the social studies test, that's, you know, I know it's a fixed form, so they get all that detailed information, and they get a little more from ELA, there's people going, well, what about math? And I'm like, it's this big blind thing that, you know, we can here are your, I mean, they have their targets, they know the claims, they know the targets, they know the standards, how they're aligned to it, but it still feels very,
well, this moving. Find out target. From, if you could send one of us an email, and we can look into how what's on Smarter's page, how that relates to